This week has been sponsored by Family Perlman on the first yahrzeit of their mother, Bas Yerochel, Bas Ephraim Meir, Arai HaShalom. Kofte Shvat, Wednesday the 22nd of February, Rabbi Yehoshua Posen, Hilchas Shlichas.
Morning. We won't be covering all of the Shlichas this morning. The specific halacha which I'd like to discuss is something which in the Gemara, there's a mahalach in the Gemara which goes into Shulchan Aruch, and then there's the application of it nowadays. The Gemara starts off with a Mishnah in Ksubas of Tzadi Chesom and Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, you only need to the beginning of the Mishnah, and this is not on the photocopy, Almona Shehoisa Ksubasam Masayim Mocha Shoveh Moneh. So Almona, somebody who was married, and she's entitled when her husband is nifted to be paid 200 zuz from the Ksuba, as the Ksuba, Mocha Shoveh Moneh. And she sold a piece of land worth for 100. Or Masayim, the Mishnah says two different cases. The first case in the Mishnah is where an almana who is also in charge of the estate, and she takes the estate which she has, which is the Yerushim's estate, and she sells the estate. She sells one property from the estate, which was worth 200, and instead she only got for it 100. So the question is, can she take this 100 for her ksuba and go back to the Yerushim and say, you owe me still another 100? Or can the Yerushim say, listen here, you took a property worth 200, if you only sold it for 100, that's your problem, not ours. The second case is, the other way around, Shavimone b'mosayim, where she took a property worth 100 and she sold it for 200. So now, can she say, listen here, this property worth 100, you only gave me something worth 100, you still owe me another 100. The fact that I happen to sell it for 200, that's my good luck, that's my business acumen, whatever you want to say, and you owe me another 100. Or they can say, ultimately, you received from the estate 200 zuz in money, and therefore we're potter from paying the Yerusha, from the Ksuba. Says the Mishnah, in both the cases, the halacha is niskabla ksubasa. She's received her ksuba, meaning the Yerushim, the estate, don't owe her anything else. Comes on the Gemara says, Memonoshuf, this doesn't make sense. Maishno shovim masayim b'mone, to amila atif sadata shovim atif sadata. Says the Gemara, why is it when she takes a property worth 200 and sells it for 100, why is it that we say to her, you've got your ksuba, even though at the end of the day, cash in pocket, she only ends up with 100? Because we say, you are mafsid the estate, you know, that's your loss. You took a property from the estate worth 200, you're only entitled to 200, and therefore the fact you only sold it for 100, that's your loss. If so, says the Gemara, Shoveh Moneh v'Masayim, Nami Tzema, Anar Vachno. So how can you have it both ways? Then when she receives from the estate only a property worth 100, and she is Masiyah to sell it for 200, why then all of a sudden do we say, no, you received 200 cash in hand, therefore we're potter? Just like when she sells it for a loss, we tell her that's her loss. When she sells it for a gain, we should tell her that's her gain. In other words, the way the Ritva explains the Gemara's looking at it is now, when she gets the property, that is the Piroin Ksuba. We're paying her for the Ksuba by giving her property. What she sells it for is her business. That's Gemara's Kasha. What she sells it for is her business. So just like if she sells it, we evaluated it at the time when we gave it to her, it was worth 200. If she sells it for 100, that's her problem. Similarly too, if we give her worth 100, that means we still owe her another 100. If she takes that property worth 100 and manages to sell it for 200, Maslagaram, very nice, lucky her. Why do we clip her from both ends? Answers the Gemara, Marabba Baravur, Kan Shon Rebbe Hakol Lebalamois. Says Rebbe, the reason is Hakol Lebalamois, Zog Rashi, if you send a shliach, a messenger, to the market to buy something for you, and he manages to buy it for cheap, you can't turn around afterwards and tell him he has to pay you the real price, because he can say, that's my ravach, Baruch Hashem, I managed to get it, hold of it for cheap. The shliach can't take the difference between what he paid and what he should have paid off the Mishaliach. That's no answers. Meaning what? Mefarshim explained that what we're saying is that really she's not receiving, she wasn't in the mission of receiving the land as the Piroin Ksuba. What she was receiving for the Piroin Ksuba was only, she was acting as a Shliach on behalf of the estate. So she's got two roles. Number one, her first role is to sell property on behalf of her estate. She sells a piece of property. Then she's entitled to 200 zuz cash. So therefore, when she sells a property worth 100 for 200, she gets 200 cash. All the revach of the fact that she managed to sell it for double its value goes to the Yoshim, goes to the estate. And they can now, because they're the mashaleach, and they can now pay her off with this 200 zuz. The kash is a bazoi, what's the other way around? When she takes a property worth 200 and she sells it for, a property worth 200 and she sells it for 100, why then do we say that she has to keep that 100 and she's not entitled to anything else? Before I should say, because then when you're acting on behalf of somebody else, you only act on their behalf if you do a good job. If you all of a sudden you take a property worth 200 and you sell it for 100, then that's negligent. You shouldn't have undersold that when you're acting on behalf of an estate, you have to make sure you do your due diligence to make sure you sell things to what they're worth. If the real market value of this was 200, you had no business selling it for 100. And therefore, that loss is your loss.
Why not the same question on the shliach?
She is the shliach.
But the shliach brothers in here, when he sells it, you give him something 200, he sells it for 300, it comes to Balboa, sells 100, he has to pay.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Why?
Because we're saying here what we're talking about is where we know the real value. The real value...
200.
So if you're not entitled to sell it for 100.
But you have to give the profit then.
No, because that's what we're saying. The profit belongs to the mashaleach. Because in the end of the day, it's the mashaleach's efforts. And similarly too, when you go and buy something on behalf of the mashaleach, any revach belongs to the mashaleach. You're acting purely as a shliach. But a shliach is not allowed to be negligent. So if you're negligent, then you have to you have to carry the price.
They come up after her for the other 100 that she didn't sell it, she sold 100 instead of 2.
They do. They, instead of coming after her, they tell her, that 100 cash you got, take that for your ksuba, and we're not paying you the other 100. No, she's tough to pay that.
Is she a shliach in the same way as the other guy? Because after all, she's getting a ksuba, belongs to her, the land.
So that's what I'm saying. She's doing two jobs. First, she's a shliach. And then once the estate has cash, she's entitled now to take her ksuba. So she has interest, but she's looking after the estate. When she doesn't act in the interest of the estate, like she sells it too cheap, then she can suffer. So the Gemara now says, why is the kasha that there seems to be a steer? So Gemara's kasha. We have a brisa where Rabbi Yossi says that they split the profits. The shliach and the mshaleach split the revach. That means, if you send somebody to the shuk to sell a property, let's say, worth 100, that's what it seems to be at this stage of the Gemara. If I send someone to auction, I take a property of mine, Chava's going to auction, I say, do me a favor, put this property on the auction. Right? Let's pick a case the other way around. There's a property being sold at an auction, and it's been valued at £100,000. I've got a chav of mine going to this auction. I say to him, do me a favor, you go and buy this property. He goes to the auction and he buys the property. Instead of buying it for £100,000, he buys it for £50,000. Mamash Mitzir, and it's been valued as Mamash Mitzir. So who gets the difference, so to speak, in the 50? So the Gemara is saying at the moment, they split it. They split it between the two of them. Comes along the Gemara and says, we just said that the mishaleach gets all the benefit. The person who sends the shliach gets all the benefit. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rami Bachom Malei Kasha. Kam Bedovah Sheish Lekitzo. Kam Bedovah Shein Lekitzo. It depends if you're dealing with someone which has a fixed price or doesn't have a fixed price. When you're dealing with someone which doesn't have a fixed price, like we were in the Mishnah by property. Property doesn't have a fixed price. One day it can go in auction for one price, the next day it can go in auction for another price. We've got halacha that karka in boyino. One of the reasons why karka in boyino is because one man's prepared to pay for a property, mashika amount, because he wants the property pumped in that area. Another man, faket, will only pay much less. Property doesn't really have a proper price. So therefore, anything which doesn't have a fixed, clear price, if you go and buy it or sell it on behalf of somebody else, all of the rebach goes to mshalech. That's what we said in the Mishnah, Gabi Almona, acting on behalf of the estate, which means, if, for example, I take a property which has been valued by surveyors and everybody else, is worth £200,000, and I go to a chava of mine. Now, let's not get involved in shatchonos, but I go to a chava of mine, I say to him, can you do me a favor, can you sell this property for me? I'm not, again, not discussing shatchonos, what he should, well, and he sells the property, instead of for £100,000, he sells it for £200,000. All of that 100,000 revach comes to me. All of it comes to me. Pardon? Mitzvashem. Yeah. All of it, you first have to have the property to sell. All of it comes to me because, at the end of the day, I am the owner of this property, and the fact that my property managed to get sold for more, that's my revach. That's my, it was mine that was sold, and it's my revach. I, what about him? He, you know, he did me a gross atover. So we'll have a karsa atover. Maybe I'll shatronos if we discuss, if we don't discuss. But for all intents and purposes, he is purely an agent who sold on my behalf. We didn't discuss agency fees, and therefore, every single pound that is gained in the sale of this property comes to me. However, when the price isn't fixed, right? Sorry, is fixed. Le Moshel. I send someone to a greengrocer, right? And the greengrocer has a sign up, 5 oranges for, I don't know, this is probably going to happen. Yeah, I'll say 1 pound, but now this is probably an orange a pound. But let's say 5 oranges for a pound, right? 5 oranges for a pound. And he walks into the greengrocer, and the greengrocer says, take a sixth. He gives him an extra orange. Who owns that orange? Now, when we discuss an orange, it's not such a big deal, but there can be scenarios where it makes a very big deal. Who owns that orange? There says the price that gets split between the two parties. Why does it get split? They cut the orange in half. Why does it get split? So Rashi says, why does it get split? So the example of something which is fixed is, for example, measurements which get sold, you know, you go to the shuk and you buy a scoop of kidneys, whatever it is. Says the Rashi, im hisifu achas yisir cholkin. It's a matona habi. It's a present. He's given an extra one. Yesh loyma le shliach nosno, yesh loyma le bal hamois nosno. Says Rashi, we don't know. We don't know the intentions of the shopkeeper. Is he giving an extra orange because he likes the guy who walked into his shop? Yeah, he likes him. He's a nice guy. Take an orange. Or is he giving it because of the purchase? He doesn't know who's doing the purchase. Well, the purchaser, whoever owns the money, that's really who he's giving it for. So Rashi, we don't know, and because we don't know, we split it. And the Mefarshim asked the Rashi, this is a very interesting psak. If the Havana in the Gemara is that we're splitting it because we don't know, we have klonim throughout Shas, what happens when we have a sofik. Right? Mitzim Hariloraya, called Adam Gavah, there's all sorts of different halachas. We don't normally say split it 50-50. Contrary to public perception of what Pshora means in Bezin, that's not how we normally act to the Sophic. Right? So therefore, Monashu, whoever is holding on to this orange, can say, it's a Sophic if he's giving it, let's say the Shliach, he's holding on to this orange. Why can't he say, not? We're not sure if he gave it to me, or he gave it to you. He might have given it to me. I'm holding on to the orange. Hamitzim Hariloraya, let me keep it. That's a kasha on Rashi's mahalach. So even according to Rashi, the Mefarshim explain that it's a sofik which resulted in Chazal enforcing a psak. Chazal said, because more or less in this matzah, we don't know what halach, we don't know what his intention is, we're paskening 50-50. Split it down again. That's the way Rashi learns. The Rosh learns a different pshat. The Rosh learns really the kavana is to give it to the shliach. The shliach is the man he sees, the shliach walks into his shop, he gives it to the shliach, his kavana is to give it to the shliach. But when this shliach walks past this greengrocer, the greengrocer doesn't come outside and say, take an orange. Why is he giving him an orange? Because he's making a purchase in his shop. Who's he making a purchase for? The balamois. So that comes out that the shliach is benefiting, he's only getting this freebie because of the fact he's making a purchase on behalf of the balamois. And for that hana, which the balamois brings him, Chazal fixed, that entitles the balamois to half. So in other words, according to the Rosh, we're splitting 50-50 because we poshut don't know. We don't know who it's being given to. According to Rashi, we know who it's being given to. It's Pasha's being given to the Shliach. But, at the end of the day, since the Shliach only is getting it because he's doing the Shlichus, we give half of it to the Balamos. What's the Nafka Minna between the two Pshatim? Nafka Minna is, what happens if this green grocer says, you know, Yankel, you're such a nice guy, take another orange. So we know, now we know. He's told us it's because Yankel's such a nice guy, that's why he's giving another orange. So according to Rashi, there's no suffix anymore. It's not like we have to get involved in the psychology. What does he mean? Who did he intend? He told us very clearly. He likes the shliach. He's giving it to the shliach. But say there's no yechriku. In such a case, the shliach keeps it all. However, according to the Rosh, no, it doesn't make a difference his intention. We always knew he intended to give it all to the shliach. But the shliach has a personal chiyuv to pay half of it to the mishaleach for the hana that the mishaleach brought this deal to him. By sending him on the shlichus. So if you look on your page in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Pei Gimel, Sivov, on the bottom, on the right hand side. Hoya Hasha Kotsuv Yodzua. So this is the case example of the oranges. If the price was fixed, Hoyisifu Neshliach Beminyan of a Mishkel, Oy Bemidah, and he adds in number, quantity, or measurements, Kol Sheisifu Le Hamoichim Hayhu Shoshneim. Whatever is added extra gets split equally between them. Hatfisefes, Hashliach, in Balamois, and the extra gets split between them. But if it was something which doesn't have a fixed price, for example, property like we saw in the Mishnah, then it all goes to the person who owns the property, the person who sent you, the Mishaleach. Miu, look at Ramo. Ramo adds in, Miu, im oim ha moiche beferish, shenoise Mishliach, hakol shel Shliach. Says Ramo, but if he specified that he's giving it because he likes the Shliach, then it belongs to the Shliach. So the Ramah, as he quotes B'Shem the Ran and Ramban, is learning that the Mahalach of Rashi, that the only reason why we split it 50-50 is because we're not sure. We're not sure who he intends to give it to. But if he specifies who he intends to give it to, then it all goes to the Shliach. Right? That's the way the Ramah learns. The Shach, I didn't put on the page, but the Shach and other Nisakelim say that's a very nice pshat if you're learning that Rashi. But what about the Rosh and the Rambam and other Rishonim who learn that no, the reason we split it 50-50 is because we know he's giving it to the Shliach, but the Mishaleach is what's causing this whole thing. And they take a paskin not like Ramah. They paskin in such a case, it all goes to, it still gets split 50-50. That's the background. Let me ask you a shayla. Someone's going to Eretz Yisrael, and he asks him to buy you a bottle of whiskey. And he goes to buy a bottle of whiskey, and the shop has a buy one, get one free. Buys in England, there's a buy one, get one free on the whiskey. Right? You ask him to buy one bottle of whiskey, you don't even know anything about the deal. It could even be that there were two different shops, and he decided to go to the one that has a buy one, get one free. Who keeps the free bottle of whiskey? Whose is the free bottle of whiskey? What's that lot? Now, I'd love to think that the Shliach will come back to the Mishaleach and tell him about the offer and discuss between them what's Taka Balacha. Who is entitled to keep this free bottle of whiskey?
It goes with the first bottle of whiskey.
It goes with the first bottle?
The second bottle goes with the first bottle.
Right. And why isn't that the same as the Halacha which we just discussed?
But it's different. It's a fixed thing. It's a fixed deal. Here he's giving an orange out of the goodness of his heart because he likes him. He wants him to be in the business.
Right.
This with the whiskey, the two bottles are joined together.
Right.
Suppose bottle of whiskey is bad, and you want to take it back to the shop, I want to take it back. Okay, you can't take one back, you've got to make both back. You won't take just one back.
Okay, but that could be even true with the oranges. Because he's only giving it to you because of the purchase.
Yeah, five oranges are bad, and so I want to swap it for another one. You said, well, give me all six.
If you swap it, okay. Okay, you're right. The Mefarish have all been down.
It's the Yad HaShliach, it's the Yad HaMshalayah. It means that the Shliach would fulfill the intentions of the Mishaleach. Because the Mishaleach was an intuitive shop, you would have got both the bottles.
Right. So the terrace is that this Gemara, which says when the price is fixed, now the first bottle of whiskey's price is fixed, that then the halacha is you split it 50-50, we've seen two different reasons in the Rishonim. The first reason in Rashi is because we don't know who he intends to give it to. As you correctly say, that's not the case here. They've got a sign, whoever walks into the shop is going to get it. So that's clearly the Baal HaMoyis. That means whoever's really making the purchase, which in this case is the Mishaleach, it's him who's going to be paying, whether now or ultimately, for this bottle of whiskey. So then it belongs to the Baal HaMoyis. And even if you learn out the Rosh, the Rosh said the reason why the Shliach is entitled to anything is because his intention is really to give it to the Shliach, but the Shliach has to pay some form of compensation, whatever it is, or Hanor, to the Mishaleach. But in this case, it's got nothing to do with the Shliach. Everybody agrees that it belongs to the Mishaleach. So in this case, I'm happy everybody's got, it's posher to everybody. By the way, the Negiyas on this case only start when you're the Shliach and you're holding a nice bottle of whiskey.
If one bottle gets broken.
Yeah. So it depends if she or not. Depends if Pshia or not. If it's Pshia, then he'll be chayav. He'll be chayav. Once he's koinu it for both of them, that's another halacha. Halacha is, it's also in Shulchan Aruch, I want to skip inside because I want to get to quite a bit still. The halacha is, if you send a shliach to buy something for you, and the shliach goes and he makes the purchase for you, he is koinu on your behalf, which is poshut, right? He is koinu on your behalf. That means the moment he's done the kinyonim, whatever the kinyonim are, whether it's mois, meshicha, both, once he's done the kinyonim, the chefetz belongs to you. Right? It belongs to you, and therefore from then you're a shemechinom or shemesocha, depending on what you are, whether you're being paid or benefits, whatever it is, and you're now liable on the entire product. Let me give you a couple of shilas that will come away. They didn't come away as shilas, they came away after these kinds of shurim, which people seem to be surprised about. So let's all the facts and figures have been changed, so if you know anyone that this sounds like, it's not from this scenario. One shilas as a. One shaila zazay. There's a shtiebel, whatever it is, in Stafford Hill, which needs which goes to a tremendous amount of coffee. Right? And they hear that in Manchester, there's a shop which is selling very cheap coffee. So the gaba of the shul, the shtiebel, calls up his chavar in Manchester, who he knows is coming for Shabbos in a couple of weeks. And he says, do me a favor, can you go and buy 30 jars of coffee for the shul? So I hear in Manchester you can get it for, based on making up the price, and I say, £3.50. £3.50 can buy this coffee. In London it costs £4.50 or £5 a jar. I hear that you can get it £3.50. Do me a favor, can you please buy us 30 jars of coffee? Right? The guy goes to the shop and he sees Tucker, it's £3.50, but there's a limit how many you can buy, and whatever it is. Upon him, he happens to come across another shop, and in the other shop, it costs £2.50, special offer. Right? So he buys 30 jars at £2.50, packs them in his car, comes to London, and he says, hey, here's your coffee. He says, ah, thank you so much. And he pays him £3.50 a jar. What's that law? Is that a problem? Not a problem. Pardon?
Yes, it's a buyer that has who gains.
Who gains?
The
shtiebel should gain. The shtiebel should gain. So the shliach tainas, I'm doing him a massive favor here. He in London can only buy a £5 a jar. He gave me a remit to go and buy it for £3.50 a jar. The fact that I now managed to find someone that's £2.50 a jar, he's not losing by me. I don't know, he's gaining by my whole meister. I wasn't even charging him. Let me tell you, it wasn't 30 jars. It was far more than 30 jars. And whoever that was far more than you know, £30. But the second time round that the story happened,
he's not obliged to tell him before he does.
That's what it's coming to. The second time round it came, then the mshaleach felt bad at you buying hundreds of jars on our behalf. Let us pay you something. And she said, no, it's okay, I'm coming in any case. It's Beseder. Right? Based on Tzadik. And this time on a number of times. Right? Now, the Shia Tainas, listen here. If I want to sell him the jars, I can sell him jars at £3.50. He's happy to pay £3.50. So you know what? I bought the jars and I sold them to him. I bought them for £2.50 and I sold them to him at £3.50.
He laid out his own money.
Oh, right? He had the time. He says, I was paying for my money, £2.50, I was buying it for him, and I bought it, and I sold it to him for £3.50. Now, this is where you have to know how to litmus test something, right? Before this discussion happened, believe me, no much trouble went into the whole story, right? It was, I'm gaining, he's gaining, everyone's happy. I said to him, let me ask you a question. When you had all those jars packed in your car, I'm talking hundreds of jars packed in your car, and your car was locked, everything fine, kadasa gadin. Had your car got stolen, would you have told the shtiebel they have to pay for the coffee? Of course. Why should I take the loss? It's a fortune of money. Why should I take the loss? There it is, that you see that in his mind, when he bought it, it was theirs. Because if when he's buying at £2.50, he's buying it for himself, and then he's selling it to them for £3.50, it's not theirs till he sells it to them. Till he brings it to London, they pay him the money, they do a mashiach, whatever it is, and then it's theirs. But until then, it's his. Yeah. So Terence says, in his mind, when he bought that coffee, he was 100% intending to buy it for them, and it's Takadez. Now, boss, he's been Moriheta, and he's turned around, and he said, no, since, in any case, they're happy to pay £3.50, and that's still a revah for them, I happen to find £2.50. Why shouldn't I gain as well? I'm just thinking, which case has gone through next? You have a similar shayla. I mean, this is a much worse shayla, right? You have a similar shayla.
I'm assuming Pascal that he had to
just to pay the money. The shiron has to pay £2.50. Yeah. Now a similar shayla, but far worse. But I don't know what's the chiddush to people and what isn't. Right? I don't think we've got the right heaven room here. I don't think we've got the right heaven room here. But you all agree that this is posh. It's a problem. When you have a young girl in the room, then the negias seems to sway. You have a property, there's a true story, a property company where the manager of the firm buys properties, derelict properties, he has them renovated, furnishes them, and then he sells them on. Right? So he's bought, he's just had 10 flats which he's bought, they've just been completely gutted and renovated, and now it's up to the furnishing stage. So he turns to the person in his office who's in charge of furnishing, and he says to him, right, I've got these 10 flats which need furnishing. We've done this, they've done this, this is a Maisa B'chol Yom. We know already that it costs £5,000 an apartment to furnish. here's £50,000, go out and furnish these 10 apartments as quickly as you can, and tell me when it's done, and then we can put them on the market to sell them. This person who works in the office as an employee of the firm goes out, looks online, not online, his own time, not his own time, and he manages to find a place going out of business, whatever it is, and he buys all the furniture to specification, the same kind of normal spec that they would buy, for £3,000 a flat. Right? He obtains receipts for £5,000 a flat, and passes it on to the boss, and there you go. The boss is happy, he's done it sucker quickly, and he is very happy, he's made £20,000 profit. Pardon? It's worse than that. It's worse than that. He's an employee. An employee is worse than a Shia. An employee is worse than a Shia because an employee, everything you do in this area, whether it's your own time or your own time, before this specification, is done for your boss. That's the way the employee works. So that's mamish straight my signature. I mean, I asked Makasha, just, it's important to me always to get into the psychology, to understand where people are coming from. I said to him, forget the halacha and forget the law for a moment, right? For a moment. The fact that you had to get false receipts, doesn't that speak to you that it's a problem? So he said, no, I'll tell you why. Because I know my boss, and he can't forgive that I should make that kind of money on something. He's prepared to pay £5,000. £5,000 is the going price. The fact that I managed to find somewhere, that's my muzzle, but I'm fully entitled to it. He won't be able to accept such a thing. So Mamela, the receipts is just to make him, his conscience, will be okay. But really, there shouldn't be a problem. Now, you're all okay with these shilas, but let me tell you where it gets very blood.
Yeah.
The Rav. I'll tell you where it gets blurred. Where it gets blurred is when you're dealing with middlemen. Lemoshel, managing agents. When you're dealing with people who manage properties, right? You're dealing with people who manage properties, and they charge you X. They charge you, for example, for your gas and electricity, or they charge you for the cleaners, or they charge whatever it is that they pass on the bill. And what they don't tell you is that really they're paying much less than that.
10%.
Oh, I'm not worried about the 10% that they charge you on the paper. I'm worried about the price that they tell you. They're telling you that it costs X amount to, let's say, the gas and electricity. And really, because they have a number of apartments or whatever it might be, it's costing them X minus. They get a good deal. It's nice and b'chol yom.
I don't think they tell you what it's costing them. They just tell you how much you have to pay.
No, but they're not telling you how much they're charging you. They're not selling you electricity. Right? They are telling you, this is the cost. We charge 10% on the cost. Let me give a similar example. A building contractor. Right? So there are different ways how you can do building contractors. You can have a person who comes in and says, you want a loft, it's going to cost you £30,000. Or you can have someone who comes in and says, it's going to cost you the materials, right? The labour, my 10%, 15%, whatever is on everything, and that's how I make up my costs. When you go for the second option, then that means the costs that you're giving him are meant to be the real costs. But he makes his markup. Whatever markup he asks for, if you agree to that, that's what he's getting. If he then goes to the building yard, and because he's a good customer, he gets 15% kickback, whatever it might be, and really he's not paying that money, then that's a problem again. He's telling you, it cost me £10,000 in materials, and it didn't. Those materials cost him £7,000. That's the same problem, really. Because if he's telling you, I'm acting as a shliach on your behalf, and I'm charging for the shlichus, I'm going to the yard, I'm going to buy the furniture, I'm charging for my shlichus, then that means whatever it costs in that place, that's what it costs. Now, is there a difference between whether it costs £10,000 and he gets £3,000 kickback, or it costs £7,000 straight? So, that's where areas get really blurred. We run out of time. But that is mamash ma'aseh b'chol yom. And that is something that you have to mamash be boited, because it comes up in various different areas. It comes up in areas with builders, it comes up in areas with managing agents, it comes up in various different areas. And the shayla one has to ask is, in my opinion, things evolve. And before one even realizes, things have evolved so much that it's poshut, this is the standard business practice. And one has to turn around and see, is this standard business practice understood by everybody? If when I take a builder, I understand that apart from the 10% he's charging, he also is really paying far less for the materials, and that wouldn't be a problem. The problem is that there are plenty of people who don't understand that, especially when dealing with building. Stumped by the boss, got no idea about the building trade. He calls in someone, so that he doesn't dream on top of the 10-15%, the person's also making, I don't know how much on the materials. Shlech.